God is the promise partner that you need. And his name is Jesus. And if we want to be partners with him, first we must take hold of his promise to us. That's the first step. We've got to take a hold of the promise he made to me. And when we must participate, we've got to participate in the promises that he's made. We don't sit back and wait for him to do it. We project with him and we bring it to pass. We must partner with him on the project that he's blessing. I'm going to say that again because I'm about to preach about it. Instead of picking my projects that I've got an itch to scratch, I need to pick a project that he's blessing. I'm just going to look and say, where's God pouring stuff out? Right there. That's how those stockbrokers do. They don't love corn. They don't have like this passion for wheat. They don't stay up all night thinking about sow bellies and other investments. They don't care about the computer chip. All they do is they look at the market and say, where's the blessing flowing? They see where the blessing, they buy. That's what you pay them to do. Why, as Christians, do we come to God who's pouring blessings out everywhere and say, yeah, I know how you're blessing that, but I really want to do that. I was thinking that. And they want to have stupid bumper stickers like, God is my co-pilot. That's the problem. He doesn't need to be your co-pilot. He needs to be flying the plane. Now there's going to be this mass exodus. Everybody's going to run outside and tear off their bumper stickers. I'm not trying to belittle anybody or to be mean-spirited. I'm saying as an illustration, we don't need a co-pilot. He is the pilot. We need to let him make these decisions. And we need to find out where he's blessing and get in it. That's how you get in. That's how you get in the flow of blessing. Find what God is blessing and get in it. Keep our promise in his promise. Let's talk about projects with promise. Everybody say with me, projects, projects with promise. Noah could have been called a pillar of his community. He was an elder. He was respected. He could have been called a pillar of his community instead of their patsy. But he took up a project called the ark to obtain God's promise. God's project is more important than whether I'm a pillar or a patsy. Y'all still with me? Well, I don't want anybody to think. I don't care what anybody thinks. All I care is about what he thinks. Abraham could have stayed in Ur with his plans. But he took up a project called the wilderness to obtain God's promise. God's project is greater than my plans. Moses could have stayed with the peaceful life at Jethro's place, but a burning bush made a promise to him. So Moses took on a project called Egypt to obtain God's promise. God's promise project is greater than my peaceful life. David could have stayed in the pasture with his daddy's sheep. Instead, he took on a project called Goliath to obtain a promise of victory. Solomon could have hoarded his wisdom and his father's building materials to build a palace. Did you hear me? Solomon had the wisdom and the knowledge. He could have taken all the materials that his father David had assembled to build God a temple and said, Daddy's dead now, and I got all this good stuff, so I'm going to have my project. And he could have built himself a palace. But instead, he took on a project called the temple that he might obtain the promise of what? Of God's presence. And when he walked into that house for the very first time, the Bible says the Spirit of God filled the house so that no one could stand to minister. The Pentecostals of Titusville have a promise project. We open this message today in Acts 2 and 39 with God's word declaring that his promise reaches to me, it reaches to my family, it reaches to my community, and it reaches to my future. That's why these banners are hanging. Our church, our family, our community, our future. It's biblical. It's Acts 2 and 39. You, your children, and all who are afar off. This is a biblical promise from God. It's not graphics. It's not art. It's the Bible. It's a reminder every time you walk in here, I've got a promise-keeping God. I've got a promise-keeping God. That's why the promise project that we're embarking upon is not only for you and for your children, but it's also for those lost souls in our surrounding region who have no concept of God's promises for them. Our world and our country are moving away from their biblical anchors every day. But praise God, we have a culture at our kids and our youth at the Pentecostals of Titusville who are swimming against the current of compromise. You can get invested in this world with all of its changing currents, or you can get in the flow where God is blessing and say, I want to be in the promise. I want my kids to be in the promise. We can split doctrinal hairs. We can debate this and that about the Bible. But here's what it comes down to. Every man and woman, mother and father, grandfather and grandmother, wants their babies to grow up believing that Jesus Christ will do everything he promised. They don't want their kids to be addicted to pain meds. They don't want their kids to be addicted to pharmaceuticals to keep their troubled mind peace. They don't want their kids to grow up with 3 and 4 marriages. You're good parents. You're good grandparents. You don't want that for them. So why would you invest in the world? Your kids, your youth are counting on us. One of the biggest challenges we have on this campus right now involves our student ministries. As we continue to grow numerically, our kids need a safe place to go and grow. Right now, they are crammed in tiny, aging, adjacent buildings off of this sanctuary. You come here and you're like, wow, this is very nice. But you go over to building 2, 1957. Building 3, 1980, but it's fallen apart. Digging trenches and holes this past year to save small, skinny pieces of copper. Flooding hundreds of dollars of water underneath the slab of that building. And if you think that's happening now, wait 5 years. These are the things that are going on. That's just the functional, structural part. If you go over on a Wednesday night when we're in here with all this space and joining, those kids are packed in like sardines. Our saved kids and this community's lost kids deserve better. They deserve greater. And they deserve safer. Every year, the state of Florida presents referendums. Y'all know this. When you go to vote, you got the names of the people you want to vote, and then they've got these long paragraphs on there. Referendum. You're like, what? One penny of tax for blah, 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 blah. Right? You know what I'm talking about? Referendums. Every year, on every ballot, there's a referendum. And one of them, most of the time, to take our tax dollars to improve. Everybody make the quote sign and say improve. Improve. Education in our public schools. That's their project. But there is no evidence that their projects are improving education. In fact, not only is education slipping, but safety and morality is slipping in our schools as well. Nevertheless, we're so used to this tax, these referendums, that we just pay the taxes, never ask a question. Sometimes we don't even go and vote. Well, they're going to take it. I guess I believe in education. That sounds like you're really passionate about it. I guess we need schools. I mean, what's a penny after all? And then a proven project called the church. A proven project called children's ministry. A proven project called youth ministry. Minton's a project. For the kids and folks. And everybody wants to ask questions. Now everybody wants to vote. They don't vote for the referendum. I just want you to know, I believe that the kids and the youth at the Pentecostals deserve the best. Now listen, I value academic education. I pursued it myself, my wife, both of us have college degrees. We will probably get advanced degrees to follow. My children, we are on them about school, and they are performing well in school, and I believe they will continue to perform well in school. I am not opposed to education achievement. However, there's also spiritual education. And it's going to help your kids achieve heaven. So trump that. Try to live on your diploma for all eternity. Folks, listen to me. We'll invest thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars into education, and then when we say, hey, the souls of our kids are going to spend eternity somewhere. Building looks good to me when I drive by, drop off the kid, pick him up. Eternity is on the line. Peter said the promise project is for our children, and the prophet Joel declared in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Our kids are spiritual. Did you hear that? Our kids have been having powerful prayer meetings for years now. We're not even in the room. Our kids are operating in the gifts of the Spirit. Our kids are praying people through to the Holy Spirit. Huh? Our kids are. We don't need to treat them like they just need a babysitting facility. They need a place to have straight up apostolic demonstration. Everybody say my family. Now I want to talk about our community. This city has been given a promise by God. This region has been given a promise by God. But unless we connect a project to His promise, it will only be a noun. We're the ones who make the promise a verb. We're the ones who God wants to partner with for action. A project is simply this. We make a promise to activate His promise. That's it. Everybody say crime. In East Central Florida, in our region, 15 people will be murdered in the next quarter. 102 will be raped. 150 robberies will occur. 636 assaults. 905 violent crimes. 417 cars will be stolen, a majority of which will be stolen by children 14 to 18 years old. An average of 861 people are sent to prison from this region every year. How are their projects working? Economy. This region had an 11% unemployment rate in 2010. Praise God, that number is down to 5.9. Let's give the Lord thanks for that. But listen, today, 21% of people under 18 years old live below the poverty level in our region. Health. My Lord, it's the only industry that's really growing in East Central Florida. There's an urgent care on every corner. It's like go get your Krispy Kreme donut, then go next door and get your blood checked. I can tell you what it's going to be because I like some Krispy Kreme donuts. Just saying. Y'all want to bless me. Urgent care on every corner. Hospitals built everywhere. When they decided to finally get this mall out here on US 1, do you know what the deal closer was for the developer? The developer said, you got to have some business on site that's actually going to eat at the restaurants and go to the stores that are already there. You need a captive audience. We had to go get Mayo Clinic to partner with us and build a hospital clinic on the property to get someone to build a town center. Hospitals and health is driving every industry. Why? Because heart attacks are up. Cancer is up. Blood pressure is up. Diabetes is up. They're not winning the fight. So who are we going to partner with? I say we partner with a healer. I know we're not going to live forever. Something's going to kill us. I hate to say it that way, kids. Don't mean to give you bad dreams tonight. But we're not going to live forever. He can heal us intermittently throughout this existence. But I tell you something else. If life is so short and sickness and death is so certain, why are we not partnering with someone that is going to take us to eternity instead of just to 72 years old? Family. I could not even calculate. I'm serious. I looked on the Department of Statistics for the state of Florida on divorce, separation, dissolution of marriage, divided homes. They have these statistics based on census data. I'm not judging anybody. There's no condemnation here. We're speaking facts, okay? I began to try to break down the numbers. The numbers were so large. I couldn't even get the math right. I was like, this is an epidemic. Families are in trouble. Are we going to partner with lawyers? Are we going to partner with the counselor? How does our community respond to these problems and these challenges? I'll tell you, we have 93 licensed bars in this county. 93 places to get liquored up. 93 places to try to wash your problems away. 93 places to get addicted to something that could kill you on the way home and take somebody else with you. People are partnering every day, every hour of the day. That's not to mention the illegal, unlicensed drug dealers. That's not to mention the legal pill factories we call pharmacies. Folks, our region is in trouble. Our community is depending on us to minister hope to them. There should be churches instead of bars. There should be Holy Spirit flowing instead of liquid spirits flowing. That's what the Promise Project is about. God made a promise to our community, and we're here to deliver on His promise. That's why I'm here. Not my promise. Don't trust my promise. Trust His. Let me give you a snippet. We preach here on Sundays and Wednesdays. We have youth and children's ministry on this campus all the time. There's something happening on campus every day of the week at this church. But that is not what our church is about only. This is a launch pad. Y'all know about launch pads. You live in the shadow of one. There was a time, Brother David, were you considered a pad rat in your day? You were a pad rat. Did you ever have one of those t-shirts with the pad rats on it? You never wore it. He got one, but he didn't wear it. At the Kennedy Space Center in the glory days of the shuttle program, and I'm oversimplifying, I was never a pad rat, so I mean no disrespect, and I don't have all the details, but I will tell you just a little snippet in my experience of being at the pad, in the OPF, in the VAB, in the office buildings with the bureaucrats, and everybody in between. There was a group of guys out there called pad rats. Their job was to take care of the launch pad. Their job was to maintain the launch pad, to repair the launch pad, to make sure it was functional. Lee, were you a pad rat? He was a pad rat engineer. That's what he was. These dudes took the pad serious. It was like, I'm going to maintain my home, and then I'm going to maintain the launch pad. That's it. They made sure there wasn't any rust on the pad. They made sure there wasn't any debris on the pad. They made sure that all the fluids, all the gases, all the mechanical devices were working and functioning and properly in order. Constantly. Constantly. And they're out there by the ocean. So the salt air is constantly breaking it down. Isn't that right, Brother Pat? Where's Brother Pat? Maintain. How's it? I mean, you go back and paint the same structure next month. It's crazy. Why? Because rust is destroying everything that man can build. They're out there maintaining these pads, keeping them going because we got to get the rocket off the pad. I went to meetings. When we went into the vertical orientation, I went into meetings and would listen to these guys. I'm telling you, you would think they were talking about St. Peter's Basilica. It was a holy shrine. That's the launch pad. Oh, it's the launch pad. Oh, the pad. That's all they cared about was the launch pad. And I was out there one day doing some a big documentary with CNN. We were walking up and down the tower. And I'm trying to figure out who we should put on camera and who we should not put on camera. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So I'm like talking to these guys. I'm talking to this one guy. And I was like, hey, man, what can you tell me about the mission that's coming up? He was like, the mission? I was like, yeah. Do you know what's in the payload bay of the shuttle? I don't have a clue what's in the payload bay of the shuttle. I was like, okay, not this guy. Let's go over here. He was a pad rat. He's not a payloads guy. Right? All he cared about was a pad. And so I was like, I'm trying to find somebody that works on the physical structure of the pad that gets the big picture. That understands, yes, we have to have a launch pad, but it's not because we stay on it. Now, that sounds funny, but did you hear me? You don't build a launch pad to put the rocket out there and admire it. Everybody take pictures of the rocket. You build a launch pad to get the beast out of here. But you can fall in love with a launch pad so much that you never light the fuse. This is a launch pad. And we as launch pad handlers and builders, supporters, repairers, we need to get the big picture. It's not about brick and mortar and carpet and pews and expanded footprints only on this campus. It's about Mars. Do you get it? I asked one of those guys one time, you know how long it takes for the crew to get to Mars from here? No. Mm-mm. I know how long it takes to get from the VAB to the pad. I'll tell you exactly how long. Now, there were some guys I did eventually find. There was a ton of people in the Pad Rat organization that knew more about space than I would ever dream about. Just happened to stumble upon a few guys that didn't have a clue. But that's not who we are. We don't think this is about this building. We don't think it's about this block. We don't think it's about this footprint. But we do have to have a launch pad. You see, there's got to be a balance. In order to get to Mars, you got to have a launch pad. And there's got to be people who love the launch pad and keep it going and keep it functional so that the people that are supposed to go to Mars can get there. You got to do both. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does it make sense? Can I get an amen from those that are still awake? I know this is longer even than normal. The good news is, over the next few services, I'm going to be speaking a lot less, and the other people are going to be speaking a lot more. So what we are doing is, this is our launch pad. But we're going to begin from this launch pad share points. Innumerable share points, Brother Daryl. Share points that can happen on the tailgate of a truck. Share points that can happen in a living room. Share points that can happen at a rehab center. Share points that can happen at the jail. Share points that can happen outside the courthouse. Share points that can happen outside that mall when they finally finish that beast. I'm going to have a pavilion there that just says share point. Wherever people are, wherever souls are, we're going to have a share point there. But a share point is just where we begin to love them. And we begin to, we're not going to try to preach them. And we're not going to judge them. And we're not going to condemn them. We're not going to try to put a sticker on them. We're going to say, Jesus loves you. I love you. How can I serve you? That's what share points are. They're already happening. We got about 12 right now share points that are already happening off this. Some of you don't even have a clue of these share points that are happening all over our community and even a few outside our region. I've got one in Volusia County. Every week I'm preaching in Volusia County in a living room. It's a share point now, but I believe it's going to become a preaching point. And when relation, everybody say share point. That's relation. But when I go to preaching point, that's when I bring the gospel. And that's when lives are changed. Everybody say preaching point. Now say transformation. We start with relation. We go to transformation. And there's going to be a lot of preaching points all over our region. We got to launch. We got to get to them. And when those preaching points begin to develop to the point where a living room can't hold them anymore, or a pavilion can't hold them anymore, then we're going to have to get some property and lease or rent or get a place that we will call a church plant. Everybody say SharePoint, preaching point, church plant. It's like when we went to the moon, we went to orbit first, SharePoint. We went to lunar orbit second, preaching point. We went to landing on the moon, church plant. There are phases of your mission that you have to execute. You can't just get to Mars or get to the moon by snapping your finger. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's why there has to be a project that puts this together and moves us forward. We need more churches than we need bars. We need more churches than we need drug dealers. We need more churches for these kids to be a part of instead of calling a gang a family. We've got your gang right here. If I have to do another funeral for a 17-year-old gang member who shot in a drug deal, I'm going to lose my mind. Right here in this church, he lay in this casket, 17 years old, gang member. His gang buddies were in the funeral. House was packed. But I can't just bring in there some political process. A candle vigil isn't going to fix it. Marching on MLK Day isn't going to fix it. Connecting with a promise keeper, now that'll fix it. And when I said, is there anyone in this house that's tired of burying your buddies? Anyone in this house that wants this violence to end? Come and meet Jesus. And a 6'3" gang member walked down that aisle. He met me right here on this carpet. He shook my hand and he started to walk away. And the Holy Ghost said, hug him. And I was like, Lord, you don't just get in a dude's face that you don't know and hug him. And so all I did was kind of give a little tug. You know, we had the soul shake going. So I did the soul shake. I was like, yeah. Dude fell on my shoulders and started to weep. I put my hand on his head and started praying for him. When that happened, 20 more people came down to this altar, standing around an open casket. At least 5 of them received the Holy Ghost. 5 of them were baptized in Jesus' name in a funeral. I don't care if you're black, white, Latin, Asian, Native American. You've got a promise, and we're going to keep that promise. A few more minutes, please. Thank you for standing. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. It's not only for our kids and our youth, but families and ministries. They have no space on this campus by which to launch. There is nowhere for us to fellowship. Did you realize that? We try to have men's prayer breakfast and we're almost packed. We can't get everybody in what used to be called the family center, the fellowship hall. We can't fit people in there. There's no place to fellowship. There's no place for safe recreation for our young people. They're playing in the streets in the pitch black dark. Parking. Our parking is running down Brown and running down DeLeon. Pray to God code enforcement doesn't show up. We've got, several months ago, someone's car was so far away that someone decided to break into it and steal something. It's like nobody could see me. Their car's so removed from that church, they're not going to see me break into their car. These are problems. I'm not talking about even tomorrow's problems. These are today's problems. These are things we've got to change now. When Jesus found the disciples, he said, push your boat out. The first time he talked to push your boat out and throw your nets out there for a drought of fish. And when they brought the fish in, the nets broke and they lost all their fish. Do y'all remember the story? But then at the end, when Jesus died on the cross and resurrected from the dead, he went out and found them on the boat fishing again 3 years later. And he did the same thing. He said, cast your nets out for a drought of fish. This time the nets didn't break. Why? Because, guys, We have to have our nets ready to hold his promises. There is going to be a phase one and a phase two on this campus. First thing you're going to see in the first year and the second year is a complete expansion inside this building to accommodate more seating. We've got seating problems, we've got altar problems, and we've got a stage you could land an aircraft on. This is ridiculous. No disrespect intended, but we're about to take a skill saw to this stage. And we're going to open up for seats and altar area for people to pray. We're going to add scores of seats down here. The other thing is we've got this beautiful balcony that we added 115 seats to. How y'all? Right now, he can see from my nose up. That's what he can see. I'm going like this. That's what he gets to see up in that seat. That's what they get to see. Donald, you've been sitting on the edge of your seat the whole service. You're about to fall off that thing, man. Because you can't see. Beautiful furniture, but my God. We're about to remove those wooden spindles, cut that knee wall down, and have a glass wall all the way around there. We're going to add seats. And we're going to add a prayer area so we don't have to worry about them making their way down to the altar. We're going to pray them through right there in the balcony. The sound system has got to change. Listen to me. The sound system has got to change because if you'll see the speakers, they're not pointing at them. They're pointing at you. So here's what they hear.
God's got a promise for you, or he's going to do great things, and what he's going to do.
That's why they're disconnected from the service up there. We've got to bring this experience up there. We've got to bring the altar area up there. This carpet, my God. I mean, just look at it. If we're going to tear the stage up, we might as well recarpet the place. I know y'all come and you're like, I don't care about the carpet. When you trip and fall on that wrinkle, or the 50,000 wrinkles right here, and bust your forehead, you care. There's been a few folks that have. There's always little children. They come up to me, hey, Pastor Jody. I was like, oh, you're a unicorn. Your son's a unicorn. Oh, he fell down. He tripped on a wrinkle. Will you pray for him? Let's fix the wrinkle. The carpet was laid in 1998. That's why. We're not just talking about beautification. We're talking about safety. We've got to have this space. We've got to have these changes. The first year or two, you're going to see these changes happen. Inside here, to maximize space and seating, you're going to see parking lots begin to form up. So y'all will get off the areas you ain't supposed to be parking. And we don't get taken down to the police department with code enforcement now. Secondly, because we've got elders that are parking a block away. And by the time they get here, they're in heart failure. Just about. We've got people with special needs. They're having to walk over hedges and stuff to get to church. It's like, it's a miracle. I mean, honestly, these are issues. It might not be an issue for you, but it is an issue for them. How are we going to serve our elders? I want to tell you something. I want elders in this church. I don't want a young, cool, hip church with no elders in it. I want those with special needs. They're either going to be healed or they're going to be comforted. But God's going to do something for them. I need to get them in that door and I need to have them comfortable. We've got work to do. Parking places that are appropriate and safe and well lit. Signage on this property so people know where to go. I found somebody wandering out there the other day. Had a backpack. I mean, church, full growth of beard. I've been walking around here for 3 days looking for where the church building door, huh? No, it wasn't that bad, but it was almost that bad. We need signage out here. Well, I know where everything is. That's because you've been here 100 years. Have you noticed there's a lot of people that have been here less than 100 days? We need to make it available to them. There's a lot of things that have got to be changed on that. But here's the biggie. Everybody say the biggie. Behind this building, right now there's a playground. You know what I'm talking about. And there's the parcels that we've bought over the last couple of years. We're going to start a phase two process to build a brand new fellowship and ministry center that will start where the Watson house is on the corner of our block. And it will go all the way to the end of this church. It will be 210 feet long. That is twice the length of this church building. It will more than four times our children's square footage, our youth square footage. Our fellowship will go from being able to hold 70 people to sit down with their elbows locked eating chili on work day to be able to hosting 300 people. It will have two stories to it so that there can be double classrooms on the bottom and on the top. But one side's not going to have a second story, gentlemen. You know why it's not going to have a second story? Because it's going to be for recreation and fellowship and Spanish church and sports and basketball and volleyball on one side of the building. And guess what? It's going to be well lit, it's going to be air conditioned, and it's going to have locked doors. Why? Because nobody's chasing us out of this neighborhood. If you want to see the drawings, if you want to see the pictures and the concepts over the next several weeks, we're going to put them up on the wall. It's rough. It's crude. We haven't hired an architect yet. All of that has yet to be done. But I've got to cast the vision that God has given me to you before we start talking with the professionals. Amen? You deserve to know this first before them. And so I'm taking the next several weeks to communicate, and our church leaders are going to be communicating to you. I want you to understand why we're doing this. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 9 said this, "The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." Thank God for the planting work of Brother Charles Abernathy. Thank God for the establishing work of Brother Hal Kennedy. But this latter house is going to be greater than that of the former house. Not because the men are greater, but because God's promises always grow. In fact, I'm talking all the time with Brother Kennedy saying, "This is what's getting ready to happen, Brother Kennedy. You ain't gonna believe what's gonna happen." I send him pictures every time we change anything. He gets all teary-eyed. He gets all emotional on the phone. "Oh, son, I'm so excited. Send me a video of those new offices. Send me a video of those new classrooms over there. Send me a video of all those new chairs y'all put in there. I wish to God that Charles and Janet Abernathy could see it." Maybe they are. Maybe that great cloud of witnesses is looking down. I wish Sister Kennedy was still able to see. This is what they wanted. God gave them the vision. I just grabbed a hold of it. Today is launch Sunday for this vision. This is a launch pad. And as of right now, we have checked the hearts and minds of the elders. We have checked the hearts and minds and polled, if you will, the leaders and the pastoral staff of this church. And we are green and go for launch. They might be scrubbing out there, but we ain't scrubbing in here. It's launch time. Do we have a promise? When I ask the question, I want you to say check. Like you were doing the polling in a launch countdown. Promise?
Yes.
Expectation?
Yes.
Vision?
Yes.
Sacrifice?
Yes.
Lift off.
Yes.
Stand with me, please. Musicians, if you would please come. That song that you played about the promise was so perfect. Please, please have that ready. You have been most patient with me, more patient than you've been in years. The list of Bible heroes goes on and on with the names of those who have stayed with their plan, could have stayed with their plan, but they took on a project because they knew that God's power, y'all still with me? They knew that God's power and God's promises and God's provisions always flow in a current that leads to His projects. I want to be involved in His promise. Therefore, I need to be engaged in His projects. Acts 2 and 38 says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Who does it say said that? Who said that? Look up on the wall. The answer's at the top of the screen. Peter said that. Y'all know Peter, right? Peter could have stuck with fishing. It was working. Business was good. But he chose a project called discipleship instead. That old son of thunder, Jesus called Peter and John the sons of thunder. That old Salt could have stuck with fighting, because fighting business was good too. Dude was a fighter, a brawler. But instead of sticking with fishing and fighting, he chose a project called submission. Then he proceeded to fail Jesus. Can we be real? Peter failed Jesus. He denied him 3 times. Peter could have gone back to fishing. Peter could have gone back to fighting. He could have stayed in condemnation because the devil was wearing him out. Instead, he chose a project called Pentecost. Did you hear me? He could have gone back to fishing. He could have gone back to what he knew. He could have gone back to fighting for his way. But instead, he chose a project called Pentecost. Why? Because there was a promise connected to that project. That's why he declared on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:39, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Praise God. We're a part of the same promise project that Peter was. If you're not, you can be today. This can be your promise today. I'm going to give an altar invitation. Yes, even at 12:58. Because there's never a wrong time to respond to the Holy Spirit. There's only one project on which God is willing to partner with you. It's the promise that came on the day of Pentecost. Now it's only one project, but it offers many promises. If you have never received the promise of the Father, Jesus called it the Holy Ghost. You can receive that today. If you have received the Holy Ghost today, but you've never partnered with Jesus on any projects, he's blessing in his projects. You can join partnership with him today before you leave. If you're a Christian who's been pursuing your own plans and your own projects, but you know they're not flowing with the promises, the power, and the provisions of God, it's time to change partners today. If you've been partnering with God, but you've been holding back because of fear, because of doubt, or because of pride, it's time to dump fear and jump into faith. There's a book that was just released, The Christian Atheist. Isn't that an oxymoron? The Christian Atheist. The book is about people who say they believe in God, but they live as if he isn't real. Thank God the Pentecost of Titusville. Don't know anything about Christian atheists. We don't just talk about God. We live like he's real. We live like his promises are true. I wonder, can you trust in the giver of the promise? Can you put everything you've got in his hands? We're going to have 2 different places for prayer today. This middle area.